We are live. What is up, everybody? Let me see. Fritz Ader's on. What's going on this morning? let me get this shirt out on Facebook real quick. And we'll get cracking. Hey, from Naples, Florida. Right on. Let's see, put this over on my page. Hey, from Houston. Happy Saturday, everybody. You survived another week of winning. Yay. I hope you're not tired of winning yet. Let's see. That page. Hey, from Virginia, it looks like. California in the house. I'm doing good. I slept really good last night. Denise had a little sleeping issue, but you know, we'll get through it.
Morning, everybody.
Let me adjust the height of this on the tripod. It's a little bit, will work. All right. And hey to everybody on YouTube, even though we're not live streaming on YouTube. I didn't want to try to mess around with YouTube again because it didn't work last time. So just Facebook and Periscope this morning. All right. So, hey, Jill Dix is on. Hey, Jill, what's going on? Lisa and Emily is on. My thoughts on I the Spy. I the Spy has blocked me. I the Spy has blocked most of the Q decoders. You can figure out for yourself what that means.
But this is Supernatural Saturday.
I'll talk about social media, Twitter, and Q stuff after we do Supernatural Saturday. All right, so for those of you who are new to the broadcast, this is Supernatural Saturday. I do a live interactive broadcast once a month, second Saturday of the month, I should say. Try to do it at 11 o'clock Mountain Time, which means 10 o'clock Pacific. Now that we just changed, everyone changed time zones except for us. So AZ Prince, I'm glad you're on here. Hey buddy, I've been hearing some rumors about you and some courtroom heaven intercession stuff. I need to talk to you. We'd probably just message you on Facebook. I would be interested in hearing what you are seeing and hearing regarding courtroom work and the stuff that's going on. So I'm glad you're on here. So back on track. Second Saturday of the month, we do Supernatural Saturday. I'm going through the book. Divine Healing Made Simple Right Now was the first book I wrote back in 2012. We actually published it in 2013. We are on chapter 25. I have gone through all the other chapters so far. This is a continuing series. You can find a lot of these videos on my Periscope channel. You can find some of them on YouTube. You can find them on my website if you want old versions, the past episodes. All right. So we are in the chapter on fasting, and fasting is an interesting subject. This is either going to be one of your favorite subjects or it'll be one of your least favorite subjects. It'll be 45 minutes of your life you'll never get back. That's the way it is. Some people are into fasting and some people aren't, and that's fine. I was really never into fasting all that much until I became a Christian. And until I got into the supernatural, once God started giving me dreams and visions and I started hearing God's voice, the issue of fasting became a lot more important. And I'll just kind of start out this way. I have gone through periods of fasting in the past. And if you are a person who is looking to connect with God, to connect with the supernatural realm of heaven in a more regular, meaningful, intimate way, I think fasting is a good way to do that. That's been my experience. Now, in the Old Testament, if you read about fasting in the Old Testament, Moses fasted, Elijah fasted. They both fasted for 40 days. Moses fasted for 40 days on the mountaintop when the glory of God was there. And Elijah fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And that was actually a type of Jesus because Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, right? Kind of a lot of the things that Elijah did, Jesus did too. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness before he started his public ministry, right? And he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, right? The three temptations that were discussed, I think, in Luke chapter, is it Luke 4? I don't remember. So there, fasting is definitely prevalent in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you'll see recordings of people fasting in preparation for battle, and they fasted when they needed direction from the Lord on something that was coming up, usually like battle plans. Sometimes people would fast when they were in grieving for the death of someone who was close to them. So there's a number of different reasons why people fasted in the Bible. New Testament, the leaders of the church fasted before they sent out Paul and Barnabas. And there are some other reasons why the New Testament leaders fasted. For the purposes of this discussion, because I'm primarily a person who's interested in healing, the conversation on fasting comes around to Matthew 17, where the disciples could not cast out an evil spirit from a boy who was having seizures, basically. And by the way, if you need to get someone healed of seizures, consider the possibility that they have a spirit that causes seizures. That is pretty clear in Matthew 17. So Jesus told the disciples when they came to him privately, why could we not cast out the spirit? And he said, because of your unbelief. And then depending on which translation you read, in some translations it adds, for this kind does not come out by prayer and fasting, right? So there's a lot of disagreements about this, and I am not going to spend too much time on the disagreements. If you follow Curry Blake's teaching on healing, Curry Blake does not believe that the translation that talks about fasting is a valid translation. He doesn't believe fasting has anything to do with your ability to operate in the supernatural. And that's fine. And I'm not going to argue about that. Whether you want to include the verse on fasting or not doesn't really matter. It's there, right? And I'll say this. You do not need to fast in order to operate in healing and deliverance. You don't need to. Jesus gave his disciples, us, power and authority for healing and deliverance. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of God that dwells in us. And when you need to work a creative miracle, you release that power. Power works creative miracles. When you need to cast out a demon, when you need to command a fever to leave, command infection to leave, command tumors to leave, you're commanding, you're using authority. Jesus gave his disciples authority and he gave us power, right? That's all you need, really, to do healing and to operate in deliverance. Now, fasting is an interesting thing because in my experience, what fasting really does, the advantage of it, is it gives you a much better awareness of the supernatural realm of heaven and the super and angels and evil spirits. Look, if you want to hear and see angels, if you want to see demons a little bit more often, if you want to be more aware of the supernatural realm, the spiritual world, spend some time fasting. You'll be interested to see what happens. That is my experience. Whenever I fast, and I have fasted as long as 19 days, I become much more in tune to the supernatural world. I hear the voice of God much more clearly. I hear the voices of angels much more clearly. I sometimes will see angels much more clearly when I'm fasting. After you get past 3 or 4 days, you know, for me, when I got into about 15, 16 days into it, I was like totally in tune with the spiritual world. Like I was aware of what was going on in that natural world. I knew that Denise was there and I could hear her talking and things, but my spirit man was much more up front and center in my life. And I was paying attention to, I was much more aware of what was going on in the spiritual world. Right. And hearing God's voice, hearing angels, sensing demons, having, if you're not able to do that, it's not that you don't have the gift or the ability. It is an issue of focus. It's what you're focusing on. Most of us are trained our entire lives to focus on the natural world. What is happening with our neighbors and our friends and our relatives, and what's happening when we go to school, when we go to work. We just focus on the natural world. Learning to hear God's voice, see angels, hear angelic voices, see demons, recognize them, all the spiritual world operating in the courts of heaven, all of that is an issue of training your mind to become more aware of and focus on the supernatural world that is existing. It's there all the time. You have to simply, for a lot of us, we have to learn to sense and perceive what our spirit man is seeing and hearing and focus on that and not focus on the natural world. That's really what it comes down to when you're looking to increase your sensitivity to the spiritual world. It's really a matter of focus. And fasting helps you do that. That has been my experience. If you are not getting words of knowledge when you're praying for people to be healed, if you're not really hearing the Holy Spirit well, if you're not, like when I was fasting, this is crazy. Like I said, about 17 or 18 days into my fasting, I was hearing the Holy Spirit, loud voice all the time, everywhere I went, Holy Spirit. I had the craziest dreams in the world. And by crazy, I mean cool. When I'm fasting, the dreams are amazing. And it's like my life is just one long, sustained interaction with the kingdom of heaven. You hear the voice of God. You hear and see what is going on, angels coming and going, all of the revelation. When you get in a long ways into fasting, your life becomes a very supernatural, kind of a very spiritual life. Like I said, I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen for you. That's what happened to me. And everybody's experience with fasting is different. I know people who have tried fasting and they say, it didn't work. I couldn't do it. I didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. Nothing really changed. Well, I would recommend just keep doing it. But and let me get into the specifics of fasting. First of all, I'm not a doctor. I am not your primary care physician. I do have some medical expertise, but I am not giving medical advice. Before you do any fasting, please talk to your doctor, especially if you have health conditions. If you have heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, if you have seizures, stroke, if you have COPD, emphysema, anything, any significant health problems, before you do any fasting, talk to your doctor about it. And have your doctor discuss with you specifically what things you should and should not do. All right? Disclaimer. Talk to your doctor, and if you start fasting and you start having problems, see a doctor or go to a hospital. All right, that's my disclaimer. Having said that, there can be issues with fasting. If you have problems with insulin, you could end up hypoglycemic pretty quickly. Some people don't tolerate. If your body is able to process fatty tissue and turn it into glucose, you won't run out of sugar for a long period of time. You'll just keep burning fat and burning fat. You'll get into ketosis after a while, and you'll just essentially melt away most of your fat. You'll just burn it. I lose about 2 pounds a day when I'm fasting, and it's just burning up fat. That's all it's doing. The time that I fasted for 19 days, I lost around 35 or 40 pounds.
You took potassium.
I thought I needed to take potassium supplements, but the Lord actually corrected me and said, stop being stupid. You don't need to. I got you. When there's different types of fasting, first of all, let me talk about that. Some people do what's called a Daniel fast. Daniel fasted for 21 days on vegetables. And then the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him a dream, gave him some revelation about what he needed to, this current for what he, his assignment. A lot of people do a Daniel fast. They just do, they eat vegetables, right? Nothing wrong with that. There's all different kinds of fasts. Some people give up meat. Some people give up sweets. Some people, you know, like I said, just eat vegetables. When I fast, I just drink water. I don't eat anything. It's complete, no food, just water. Some people go on juice fast. They'll just drink juices. There's all different kinds of different ways to fast. No hard and fast rules. Fast however you want. I would definitely inquire of God. If the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord, number one, does he want you to fast? Number two, how does he want you to fast? Let the Lord direct you specifically on how to fast, how long, when, what kind. A lot of different ways that you can do it. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, one way is right and one way is wrong. I would not suggest fasting over 40 days. However, that tends to be like the outer limit of getting to the danger point. And a lot of people can't go even half that far. And that's fine. Some people just fast for 3 days. I will tell you this, from my experience and experiences of others, if you're going to do like a fast where you're not going to eat any food at all, just water or juice, 3 days is the marker. You're going to be progressively more hungry for 3 days. And at the third day, generally, there's a break. Over, if you can get past the third day to the fourth day, your hunger leaves. From the fourth day on, most people who fast, you don't even notice that you're hungry. It's not a thing. You just don't really miss the food all that much. At least I didn't. I stopped fasting. I try to stop fasting when the Lord says, stop, you're done. The whole thing about fasting is really, it's learning obedience to God. It is learning to hear his voice, learning to sense his presence, and learning to be a little bit more obedient to what he is saying and doing. Now that was what I always take out of fasting. Is I want to be as close to God as I can, and fasting helps me get closer to God. I don't know that it necessarily makes me better at deliverance or healing, but it does definitely draws me closer to the Lord. For me, that's the big advantage in fasting. Let's see. You did a 30-day fast, Crystal, and there you go. that's... and she did, Crystal said she just did, she did a 30-day fast with just water, I think. All right. So, you know, the thing about fasting is that, and I would caution you, because some people, it's easy to get into a religious mindset. It's easy to think, if I fast, then God is going to do this. And I think a lot of people fast because they want God to do something. They're going to fast because they want God to bring revival. They fast because they want God to change their nation, change their city. I'm going to fast because I think that if I fast, I can move God. I can make God compel him to do something. I don't necessarily know that that's a good reason for fasting. You're sort of saying that I am more passionate about this issue than God is. So if I fast, maybe I can convince God to do this. I mean, I know people mean well when they do that. I just don't know if that is necessarily a good reason for fasting. God is way more compassionate than we are. God cares more about children being killed through abortion than we do. God cares far more about injustice than any of us do. God is way more compassionate, way more merciful, and he's way more just than any of us. I don't think we need to convince God. I don't think we need to twist his arm to make him do stuff. So I personally don't care for the, we're going to fast and we're going to try to get God to, you know, pass some abortion legislation. I don't know that is necessarily theologically sound, at least from my perspective. I think For me personally, fasting is an issue. It's a personal issue with you and God. Fasting is a really good way to connect and get closer to God. And find out, what does God want from you? What does he want in your life? What is your destiny? What's your calling? What are your assignments? You know, I mean, that is a great reason for fasting. If you don't know much about your divine destiny or your gifts or your calling in life, you should probably spend some time fasting. The Lord will probably reveal a lot to you during that fasting. That's what I see as the best purpose for fasting: drawing closer to the Lord, hearing his voice, getting a better understanding, you know, in a particular season, what his assignments are, what he wants you to accomplish, who he wants you to partner with, those sort of things. Like I said, from my perspective, though, hey, Kim Newman is on here. Yeah, you don't, it's easy to get into manipulation, Kim, and think you're going to, you know, like twist God's arm. We're going to get God to do this if we get 10,000 people to fast. Well, you know, like I said, I know that people mean well. I just don't know that it is necessarily an effective way to to get God to do something. Just pray. You know, hey, Lord, let's have your will done in the earth. Not a bad prayer. Just saying. All right. What if you're on medications? Yeah, if you're on medications, like I said, you need to talk to your doctor and see if fasting is going to cause issues with your medication absorption, and if there are certain medications you should or shouldn't be taking. Again, I am not a doctor. Talk to your doctor about that. Hopefully find a doctor who understands fasting and can talk to you about it. It sounds like I'm reading the comments from a lot of people that God is kind of nudging a bunch of people to do some fasting. You know, it's a good time to do it. Anytime's a good time to do it. After a 30-day fast of TV and fast food, you had a dream and you were delivered of many things. That is awesome. Three things? Mm-hmm. Weaker the flesh, the stronger the spirit. That is true. What fasting does is it tends to, you know, there's this war between the spirit and the flesh, your body, your natural mind, your body, and your spirit man. And your spirit man wants to be dominant. The Holy Spirit can work through you. The Holy Spirit can function in your life much more effectively and more powerfully. If your spirit man, if you are led by your spirit man, who is being led by the Holy Spirit, right? Your natural mind, it's very difficult for the Holy Spirit to lead your natural mind. It is very easy for the Holy Spirit to lead your spirit man, okay? The spirit over the flesh. And fasting tends to put your flesh into subjection to the spirit. It tends to weaken your flesh and strengthen your spirit man. That is what I've learned. And it teaches spiritual discipline, is what it really does. It teaches you to be a little more disciplined, a little more focused. I mean, one of the reasons why, I'll just talk about persecution. As I have suffered attacks on social media and persecution over the last several months, the reason why that stuff doesn't bother me, the reason why you hear me laughing on the videos and having a good time, is because those attacks and criticisms and persecution and hatred, it would have 10 years ago would have devastated me. But I've spent a lot of time with the Lord. I know my calling, I know my assignment, I know my identity. Now, what did Satan tempt Jesus with when he was fasting in the wilderness for 40 days? Satan questioned his identity. Are you really the Son of God? Oh, if you're the Son of God, why don't you do this, right? Right? So Satan questioned his identity. Satan questioned and tried to get him to work miracles outside of the appointed time. Oh, well, you know, you say you're the Son of God. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? You're probably hungry right now, right? Well, Satan knew that Jesus was going to work miracles. He tried to get Jesus to work a miracle outside of the appointed time. Jesus was like, I am going to work miracles, but not right now. It's not the appointed time. Right? So Satan was attacking him in all. Satan attacked him in his identity. Satan attacked him in his, what I would call his inheritance. Right? So Satan took him up on the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, these are all mine and I can give them to whoever I want. And if you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Right? Well, Jesus knew his inheritance was going to be the kingdoms of earth, but he wasn't going to get it from Satan. He was going to get it from his father. So Satan attacked his inheritance, his identity, and his calling as a miracle worker. Satan will attack us in our identity, in our calling, and in our inheritance, the things that God wants to give us. He'll question those things. And these people on social media who are attacking me, attacking my identity, attacking my calling, attacking, you know, my inheritance, the inheritance that God wants to give me, the same things that Satan attacked Jesus on, those people probably would have been successful 10 years ago had I not spent the last 10 years hanging out with the Lord in dreams, in visions, in times of fasting, getting to know the Father, getting to know his love for me, getting to know my identity, who he has called me to be, who he has ordained me to be. If I didn't know, if I didn't have all that information, if I hadn't spent that time with the Lord, I would be a wreck right now. But I'm not a wreck. The attacks and all the criticism is like, whatever, doesn't bother me. It's like little flies buzzing around me. I'm like, okay, shoo, go away. And that comes from, like I said, spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord, getting to know who I am, my identity, how much he loves me, what he has called me to do, and solidifying day after day after day after day the specific revelation that God gives me about my mission regarding Q and politics and supporting Trump and training and equipping people in the supernatural. You know, those things, I know that those are the things that are important to God. So I stay focused on them. I don't give up. I show up every day. I continue doing my research and my broadcasts and my videos and articles because God has impressed on me day after day, week after week, year after year. These are the things you need to do. If you do them, they will bear fruit of the kingdom. A lot of the reason why people are unsuccessful and don't bear good fruit in their lives is because they're on the wrong assignment. They either don't know their identity, they don't know their true identity, and they're acting out of a false identity that the world has given them. That's how I was for 38 years. And even after I became a Christian, for the first 8 years, I really didn't know my identity. Like, who did God call me to be? Right? My identity is very similar to the identity that God gave Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph is a dreamer. And Joseph, his dreams and his ability to interpret dreams was very significant in his calling, in his ministry. And Joseph was heavily persecuted and beaten up and harassed by his brothers. So was I. I went through a very tumultuous, difficult childhood because I had seven brothers, and they beat the snot out of me on a daily basis and picked on me and harassed me. And I learned to fend off attacks from people close to you. I've been attacked my whole life by people close to me. So God has taught me how to not let those attacks bother me. He's taught me how to interpret dreams. He's taught me how to receive revelation from him in dreams and visions. If you look at the life of Joseph, my life is very similar to his. And I look at Joseph's life and I see what he went through and realize, if you persist, if you put up with the harassment, if you put up with the persecution, if you follow God faithfully, steward the revelation, steward the dreams that he's given you, ultimately, at the end of God's purpose for you, you're going to be standing in front of Pharaoh interpreting his dreams. And the dreams that Pharaoh had that Joseph interpreted changed the world, saved millions of people, right? And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people thought Joseph was a fool, but Joseph knew his identity and he knew what he was called to do. And he knew that the revelation that God gave to people was real and he was obedient to it. And it changed and the lives of millions of people. That's the kind of thing that drawing close to God does for you. If you draw close to God, he will give you the revelation. He'll show you your identity, your true identity, not the identity that the world wants to give you, your true, his divine identity that he purposed for you before you were born. He'll give you specific revelation about who you should partner with and who you should be aware of who are trying to sabotage you. I get dreams about my enemies all the time. Those people that are attacking me on social media, God shows me their finances. He shows me their plots. He shows me who they're connected to. He shows me what they're doing on social media and dreams. I get so much information about my enemies. It's crazy. They don't even know. Like, if they had any idea what God was showing me, they would leave me the heck alone because I know a lot more about them than they know about themselves. I've seen the demise of many of these people in my dreams. I mean, that's just how God is, you know, and I'm not threatening. These are not threats. I'm just telling you, God will show you. I put this up on Twitter the other day. If you submit yourself to the will of God, he will not only vindicate you in front of your enemies, he will expose their corruption and dishonesty, and he'll show you what their issues are, and then he'll show the world what their issues are. So it definitely pays off to be to draw close to God, to draw into him, to ask him for specific information about your identity, your calling, your gifting, who you should work with, who you shouldn't work with, who you should be partnered with, who to watch out for, seasons, timing, when to move, when to stop, when to say something on social media, when not to say something on social media. God can give you very specific revelation and information, strategies and tactics and timing issues regarding your calling, your assignment, and the attacks that people are going to bring against you. Years ago, when I started blogging, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw people coming to my website, leaving hateful comments on my website. One after another, after another, after another. Trolls were just coming out of the woodwork going after me. And in the dream, the Lord showed me that I just needed to ignore all those haters and keep writing and keep blogging and keep going because the messages that I put out were a blessing to the people who understood it, who got it. Despite the haters, despite all the critics, God showed me just keep going. Don't give up. Keep showing up every day, keep writing and blogging, because eventually those haters are going to drop off the map and you're going to find an audience of people who really appreciate what you're doing, right? That's the kind of instruction that God will give you if you ask him for it. And he's given me tons of instruction like that on specifics, like I had problems with WordPress and my website for a long time. God would show me specific issues I had with my email issues on WordPress, plugins that were going to be problematic that I needed to get rid of and replace.
How to fix the timing belt
on my car. I was changing the timing belt on my Subaru one day and I could not figure out. I took everything off, changed the timing belt, put it back on, put it all back together, and it wouldn't start. I did something wrong and I couldn't figure out. I'm looking at the service manual, I'm looking at the timing marks, I'm looking at everything, and I can't figure out what I did wrong. Close my eyes. In a vision, God shows me the timing gear, the camshaft gear and the timing gear and the mark on there. And there was two marks and I wasn't aware that there were two marks. I only saw one. In the vision, I saw a second timing mark and I was like, oh, that must be the where the timing mark goes on the camshaft. So I pulled the cover off. I took off the belt. I moved the camshaft and the timing gear, got it lined up, put everything back together, and the car worked fine. That's the kind of information the Lord will give you if you're willing to just patiently let him show you what is wrong, what needs to be fixed. Hey, Kazuko. I see Kazuko is on this morning. Mimi, it's morning for us. It's evening for her in Japan. For those of you who are on Periscope, want to follow Kazuko. I don't think Kazuko is on Twitter. I think she's just on Facebook. Kazuko, Mimi, Onishi. So I know we're getting off the subject of fasting, but like I said, fasting really is it. Oh gosh, everything comes down to relationship. It comes down to relationship with the Lord. Ministry is relational. Ministry doesn't work through formulas. What words do I have to say to get this person healed? What words do I need to say to get rid of this demon? It's not about the words you say. It's not about a specific pattern, words. I tried this step, this step, this step. It is relational. It's all about relationship. Everything we do as children of God comes out of a relationship with our Father. And it's all about relationship. He will instruct you. He will warn you. He will bless you. He will show you strategies. He'll do all those things if you just work on developing that relationship. And in some cases, fasting is a good way to build that relationship. You know, it's a step in the process. Fasting is not the end all and the be all, but fasting is a good step in the process to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit a little bit more clearly, see angels, hear and see demons, things of that nature. If you're interested in connecting a little more and identifying things in the spiritual world, fasting could probably help you do that. That is right, Kim. It is all about the relationship. Ministry is
somebody
relational.
Asked, how do you initiate relationship?
All right.
How did you do it?
All right. I have this book. I have this book called Hearing God's Voice. I wasn't going to write this book. I had written Divine Healing, and then I wrote a book, My Craziest Adventures with God. The day that I sent the manuscript for Craziest Adventures with God to my editor, I don't even know if I have a copy of it. It's all right. I sent off the manuscript to Lydia to get it edited. Craziest Adventures with God, Volume 1. Sent that book off, and that night I had a dream that I was writing a book about seeing in the spirit, actually, I think. That was the next one, right? Seeing visions, learning how to see visions, learning how to hear God's voice, all right? And I'm going to be going through these books. In future broadcasts, I will go through chapter by chapter. I'll go through those books. So if you just stick around long enough, we'll go through all of them and talk. But if you are not, how do you develop the relationship? It is a matter of realizing God is already speaking to you. You're just not recognizing that his voice. That's what it is. I mean, you can buy the books if you want, or I can give you my 15-second secret tip. God is already showing you visions. He's already showing you angels. He's already showing you, revealing demons, strongholds. God will already show you things in the heavenly realms. It's all there. He's already showing it to you. He's already speaking to you. You're simply not perceiving it. And the relationship, developing the relationship, is a matter of learning to focus on what God is already saying, what he's already showing you. I had to kind of get, I had to learn to refocus my mind. It is an issue of where you're focusing your mind, what your mind is focused on. If you, and this is in the exercises in the books, most of the exercises in my books, it's about turning off the radio and the TV and your phone and your computer and turning off all the noise that is around you, getting quiet and listening to hear the thoughts of God. God generally speaks to us through thoughts. He also speaks to us through visual images. He also speaks to us through a number of other things. A lot of people are what they call prophetic feelers or empaths. They sense God speaking through their emotions. God speaks in a lot of different ways. But what we tend to do when God is speaking through a thought, we hear a thought, and then we think, oh, that was me. I had that thought, when it was actually God. We see an image flash in our mind, and we think, oh, that's my imagination, when it was probably God actually giving you a vision. God is already showing you images in your mind. You perceive them as your imagination, as just to make believe. And God is actually showing you something in the supernatural realm. He's giving you a word of knowledge about somebody else, and you're not perceiving it correctly. You're falsely attributing that vision, that thought, to something other than God. And the key to learning to hear God's voice isn't learning to hear. It is learning to recognize what God is already saying, what he's already showing us, and discerning what our thoughts and from his thoughts, discerning the things that we conjure up in our own mind versus the visions that God gives us. It's taking those things side by side and going, that was not me, that was God. That was me, and that was the Lord speaking. That is the process of learning to hear God's voice, learning to see visions, dreams. A lot of people think, oh, I had a dream. Oh, it was just a dream from my imagination, just my soul working things out. Well, no, probably it wasn't, actually. Most of the dreams we have are dreams from God. God is speaking to you symbolically through a dream, and he's trying to give you instruction, usually, or warning. And you just don't know how to interpret your dreams. Learn to interpret the dreams, and you'll realize God's talking to you all the time in your dreams. It is a process of learning. You have to learn how to interpret dreams. You have to learn, oh, that vision, that little boom, that little picture that I saw in my mind, that was actually God giving me a warning of something. That thought, that was not like the way I normally think. That was actually God speaking to me. That is the process of learning to discern the way that God speaks to us, the emotions. You suddenly feel an overwhelming emotion of compassion for somebody. Oh, really? Well, God just gave you, he spoke to you through your emotion because he wants you to pray for that person that you felt that compassion for. That is the process of developing the relationship. It's learning the things that we normally sense and think, that's me, realizing a lot of that is not you. It's God speaking to you. Oh, Deanna's on here. Hey, Deanna. I love Deanna. Deanna is always, every video I put out on Twitter, boom, Deanna tweets it out on Twitter. Deanna, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for all the support that you give me on social media. She's awesome sauce. Yes, God lays things on your heart. God gives you a burden for prayer by the emotion, by the things that you sense and feel. I'll be laying there in bed at night before we're getting ready to go to sleep, and a thought will come to my mind, and I'll realize, well, I wasn't thinking about that 5 or 10 seconds ago or 15 seconds ago. I wonder if that was the Lord actually giving me a thought, and I'll put it out on Twitter because I realized that was the Lord actually giving me something that he wanted me to put out on Twitter. I try as much as possible to censor my own thoughts on social media and try as much as possible to put out the thoughts that God is sending to me. When you see me posting things on social media, not everything, but a lot of it, I think it's what the Lord is saying, what he is showing me. Even some of the memes that I put out on Twitter, a lot of those memes, people don't understand what they're about. Like on I'll just give you guys a clue. I posted a GIF yesterday morning of the Iron Giant running through the forest. Okay? There's only 3 or 4 people who knew what that was about because I told them about the dream that I had, which has to do with that. If you didn't know about the dream, you wouldn't know about that meme that I posted on social media. But much of what I post on social media is based on specific things that God has shown me whether it's about General Flynn, President Trump, Q, or myself or other people, generally speaking, especially on Twitter, if I'm posting something, it's something that God has shown me. And he's highlighting it, and I'm putting it out there for a reason. Now, there's a lot of things that I don't put out. A lot of what the Lord will show you is personal. It's meant only for you. It's not meant for the world. So then you have to get to this point where you're discerning, what should I share on social media and what should I not share on social media? You know, here's an example. When I was on Bill Mitchell's show, and I talked about the Anons on 8chan coming and digging through your private life, the Lord had actually shown me that in a dream a couple nights earlier. I probably shouldn't have said anything about that on social media, but I did. And then a bunch of people were like, oh, he's threatening people on social media. Well, no, I wasn't really threatening people on social media. I was stating a fact. And everyone knows, if you know anything about 8chan and 4chan, you don't want to make those people angry because they'll come after you. That's why I don't post on 8chan and 4chan, because I don't want to piss off the Anons and have them come after me, right? If you don't want those people digging through your stuff, don't piss them off, right? People have known that for a long time. Hollywood stars make the mistake of talking trash about people on 4chan. Next thing you know, the Anons are digging through their stuff and putting it out on the internet. Like, if you don't want that stuff happening, don't mess with those people. It's like, if you don't want the cops coming and, you know, kicking your head in and wrestling you to the ground and handcuffing you, don't go after the cops. Leave the cops alone, and leave them alone and they'll leave you alone, right? That's how it works. That's kind of what I was saying. But the Lord had showed me that in a dream a couple nights earlier, and it was something I probably should have kept to myself. But in my big mouth, I went out and talked about it, and people took it out of context. But that's a learning process. You have to learn. There are some things that the Lord will reveal. He wants, it's just for you. It's not for everybody else, right? But, you know, live and learn. Oh, my gosh. Anyway. What's up, Jennifer and Dawn? Oh, Dawn Casanova Lineager is on here, honey.
Oh, great.
We need to talk to Dawn at some point. Dawn, you were talking about her last night. You can message me, Dawn, on either on Facebook or send us an email. We have something we'd like to talk to you about, don't we?
I don't know. I don't remember that name.
Oh, no, that was somebody else. Hey, Dawn. It wasn't. Who were you talking about last night?
Never mind.
It was somebody else.
We'll talk about that later.
Dawn, we were not talking about you. We were talking about somebody else. I need more coffee. Where's my coffee? It must be in the other room. No, it's okay. Oh. It's all right. It's probably cold. I need to make some fresh coffee. Yeah, Dawn, it wasn't you. It was another person. That person was actually emailing Denise, and she brought it up, but it's another thing. Don't worry about it. Yeah. All right, so me and my big mouth. Yes, Kim, exactly. You've never said anything out of turn, did you? Okay. Ice cream. All right.
Any more fasting questions, I guess.
Any more questions before we go? Because, well, it's almost 11 o'clock Pacific time. You can ask a question about the rapture, but I probably don't have the answer. Blue Ridge Coffee Crafters, they're good. We had somebody send us a whole bunch of Covfefe, the MAGA coffee company. They have a roast called Drain the Swamp Medium. I love it. Really good coffee. And this is not a paid promotion. I'm just saying that they have really good coffee.
Somebody said, did you ever ask the Lord for a fast? And I think you said that before.
3 days of darkness? I don't know anything about that. I know the people have been talking on the chans about 3 days of darkness. I have no idea what that's about. Is the rapture supposed to happen before the Antichrist? I have no idea. not something that the Lord talks to me about. I'll just say this. A lot of people are very, they talk a lot about the end times, the rapture, the Antichrist, all that. That is something the Lord never talks to me about. He doesn't. I know a lot of people are very interested in that stuff. God just doesn't talk to me about it. So I don't talk about it much because God doesn't talk to me about it. Do I have a list of other healers like me? Oh, I have a list. I sure do. There's a lot of people that are doing this. Torben Sondergaard, Pete Cabrera, Tom Fisher, Todd White. I love Todd White. If you want to learn about healing, seriously, I would point you to Todd White on YouTube. His videos are amazing. Todd was kind of my role model when I got into the healing thing. We were contemporaries, but he got started in healing about a year or two before I did, and he did a lot of YouTube videos where he would go out on the streets and he would pray for people to be healed, and I was watching his videos and watching how he released power, how he commanded evil spirits to leave, how he loved people. The thing about Todd White is Todd displays love more clearly than anybody that I know. He is probably the most loving, a really good example of what it is like to love people unconditionally. And I highly recommend checking out Todd White's videos on YouTube. They're amazing. He's also on Facebook, and I learned a lot from him. I really respect him. But there's a lot of people out there that are doing healing ministries. Andrew Womack's teaching is really good. There's a lot of good people that are teaching on healing. John Meller is an Australian guy, is really good too. He does healing meetings all the time, sees people healed of everything from multiple sclerosis to cancer cell, you name it. He sees things healed that you would think could not be healed. Mm-hmm. When I pray for healing for people, do I repent for them and their sins first? No, I don't. Dan Moeller is really good too. Dan was Todd White's pastor. Excellent guy.
Randy Clark has a...
Oh, Randy Clark is amazing. Yeah, Randy Clark has a great ministry on healing and deliverance. Love his stuff. Bill Johnson is really good on healing and deliverance. Okay, I don't see a whole lot more questions. So that is going to wrap up the Supernatural Saturday. I will get this up on YouTube and then put it out on the website. Let's see.
Bobby Connor, somebody said.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
So many good people.
Oh, Steve Harmon is amazing.
Thank you all for being here.
Steve Harmon is amazing. Steve has been a friend of mine for a number of years. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Hey, Steve, pick up the phone. Give me a call. Steve is another example of a very loving, compassionate person, shows unconditional love to everybody, specializes in high-level ritual abuse, people who have a lot, multiple personalities and emotional healing. Steve is great with that. So is Dan Duvall. So yeah, I mean, those are my people. I hang around with those types of people. That's my crew. We learn from each other, and it is a major blessing. You are welcome. All right.
We want to thank you all for being here.
We want to thank you all for being here.
Without you, we don't have a show.
Without you, we don't have a show. Is there anything else you'd like me to say? I think I need some more coffee.
Yeah, I think it's...
I'm working on the ministry website this morning, by the way. I should have the prayingmedic.org ministry website up and running pretty soon. Doing some web design on that this morning. I'll have a busy weekend. I am working on the Q book and the first Q book. Hopefully have that out soon in a couple of months.
And all right. Novel.
And the novel. The novel's coming out. I've been working on this novel for, 5 or 6 years.
It's been in editing for what?
It's been years? Editing. It's been in editing for about 2 years. Amy Martin, if you're listening to this, we got to talk because we have a board meeting we have to set up anyway. Ginny and Paul, we need to set up a board meeting. Just letting you know. Annual board meeting for the church. Amy is working on the editing for the book. She's got the novel is out to some beta readers. And when we get it back, we'll finish it up. I'll get the novel out soon, get the Q book out soon. I'm looking forward to getting some books back out again because it's been a year and a half since we published a book. Has Mark Taylor been censored on YouTube? I don't know. All right. Love y'all. Gotta go. Catch you on the next broadcast. This is Praying Medic, signing off.